The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Warning! This episode contains foul language, great tunes, and we make Joe really, really mad.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we get together with one of our friends and we talk about something weird, and sometimes we talk about something absolutely ridiculous. Or is it? My name is Ashley, and today I'm joined by my co-host Lauren and my handsome boyfriend Joe, and this is part two of our conspiracy theories series. Technically, it's part two of part two, because last week we chatted about Operation Snow White, which was carried out by the Church of Scientology, and it was terrifying but also super impressive, and we may or may not have paid for classes. This week, we're taking a much lighter note, and Lauren is going to be talking about the endless amount of conspiracy theories involving the Beatles. We're going to question everything about one of the most prolific bands to ever exist, or did they? And it makes Joe furious. It is a true delight. Make sure you tune in for our final installment of Conspiracy Theories when Joe gives us a detailed and comprehensive look at Iran-Contra, the crack epidemic, and modern-day slavery in America. It's definitely the darkest and most infuriating episode we've ever done, and we did an episode on the deep web, so think about that for a second. All right, slap on some Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and let's dive into this hard day's nightmare.
In our conspiracy theories episodes, we get pretty serious. I mean, we have some fun with it, but we talk about the government and, you know, people trying to destroy lives. I thought I'd do a lighter tone today.
Yay!
And talk about a conspiracy theory that has to do with a band you may have heard of.
Who is it?
They're a little obscure.
They are.
Is it Wings?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, it's definitely Wings. have you guys ever heard of the Beatles? Before?
The Beatles.
Rings a bell.
Beatles.
Yeah, right? Like, you may have heard of them.
Spelled like the bug?
No, B-E-A-T-L-E-S.
Oh, like a beat? Like keeping the beat?
Like the beat. They got the beat. It's pretty crazy.
Nice. I think they actually sang We Got the Beat.
We got the beat. I was like a sheep singing that song.
We got the beat. You sounded like Stevie Nicks.
Oh, that's like the best compliment of my life. Anyway, yes, I've heard of them. Aside.
Anyway, the Beatles are only like the best thing that ever happened to me. Yes, I've heard of the Beatles.
I found out before this episode that Joe is obsessed with the Beatles, and that makes me happy because this is going to be very interactive. But the reason I said it's going to be lighthearted is because, if I'm being honest, the theories that I'm about to talk about, I don't really buy into, but I am fascinated by the conspiracy theorists that dug so deep to come up with these things. And I think it's very entertaining and interesting, and you might take away like some new fun facts. I don't know. Gabby!
Gabby's also a Beatles fan.
Yeah, Gabby loves it.
She is. Who isn't? Okay, we all love the Beatles. They came around in the 60s. Four men from Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Liverpool. I can't do it at all. So Joe's going to be our Liverpool accent whenever we need it. They were the first boy band to really like be what a boy band is now, like causing mass hysteria, women peeing their pants, falling to the ground.
Yeah, they really caused a stir.
Took over the world. It's insane. Like they're just amazing and they have wonderful music that I love. So,
and I just want to bring up the fact that they were only around for how many years?
10.
Less. I mean, what
kind of 60 talking about to like 70
forming? I mean, their first hit in Europe was the end of 1963 and they broke up in 1970. Yeah,
that's right. So actually more like 7 years. I was thinking they started in like 60, 61, but
well, they started.
But no one liked them right away.
They started then, and then they went to Germany and they played in a club in Hamburg, Germany, and then they slowly built their following from there.
They weren't super loved right away. People were like, okay, you're another British band, you're fine. But they, I mean, it was when they came to America that things really blew up, which is what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So what we're discussing, there's going to be a couple parts. It's going to get a little silly, a little crazy. So did the Beatles ever exist at all is one question. Has Paul McCartney been dead since 1966? And is the Illuminati involved with their rise to fame?
Yes.
Buckle in, everyone. You ready? So first
I'm already furious.
Yeah, he's fuming.
I'm about to walk out. I'm about to walk out on this.
You heard me say that these are upsetting. I know. This is what the internet has come up with. Also, this website has since been taken down, which I mean is a little fishy, but there you can still go to the link and it just says, sorry, we're not here anymore. There is a website called thebeatlesneverexisted.com, and that's where all of this information is from.
I wonder if it got taken down because someone stopped paying for it or if it got taken down because the government could not have that nonsense.
No, it got taken down because it was the only way you could access it was through one IP address, and that guy's mom kicked him out of the house. So.
Guys, it was taken down because it had so much truth.
Gosh, she wants me to clean the garage. 47 years old.
I just love that this website existed. It really made me
I've
excited.
I've actually never heard that before.
The Beatles never
did
existed.
The Beatles exist?
I know, it's so great. So first of all, we're going to talk with the first theory that ever came up about them, and that was Paul's death. You guys may have heard this one before. It's pretty popular. It is said that Paul McCartney died in a car accident in 1966 when his Aston Martin hit a pole, and he was immediately replaced with a man who won a lookalike competition for Paul McCartney named William
Same
Campbell.
Same thing happened with Avril Lavigne.
Yep. That's exactly. We Brittany? Talked about this last time. Yep. Joe hates us, but it's true.
It's true. She's dead. She's
Avril's
been dead for years.
Her face is new. It's not the same.
Her face is new.
Her face is new. So William Campbell stepped in. This rumor was started because of a car accident that did involve Paul's car, but no one is sure if Paul was actually in it. There was also a car accident in 1967 involving Paul's Mini Cooper, but he was not in the car. Someone else was in there. So there's all these accidents involving Paul McCartney.
He was actually
cars.
In a car with Mick Jagger when that accident occurred.
There you go.
They were going to a party at Keith's house.
Do you know who was in his Mini Cooper? Has that been said? Someone died.
I think it was a guy who was I want to say he was Indian. I want to say he had an Indian name that just. I know George was the one who was into, you know, like the sounds of India and whatnot. But anyway,
someone died.
I know that story. Somebody else was driving Paul's car and got into a car accident.
So it's not the same as the Mini Cooper incident because that has been proved Paul wasn't in the car. But it said the year before, 1966, that he hit a pole and died. But the Beatles had to carry on, of course.
Right,
This was when, like, things were getting wild. So there is someone named Dory. I can't decide. That sounds like a woman's name, but a lot of websites are referring to Dory
as
a he.
It's actually the name of a fish.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So
it's Ellen DeGeneres. So
it's a breed of fish.
And was like, oh,
John Dory.
John Dory.
John Dory is a kind of fish.
Is it?
That's why her name's Dory.
Is it the blue kind?
She's a Dory fish.
So that fish that Dory is a fish?
You didn't know that?
Are you fucking kidding me?
There's a Dory fish?
She's a Dory.
What? That made me burp. It was so exciting.
Hold on.
Wait, go over this again.
What?
It's a breed of fish, a Dory.
The fish that Dory is in the movie, that blue
is
fish, is a Dory fish?
I don't know why they would give the name
Dory.
Because
it's adorable.
Well, Nemo's not a Nemo fish.
That's a clownfish. I'm so excited.
If this is real. If this fish is a dory fish, I'm going to shit.
His face looks a little like I may be wrong.
No. It's a different breed. She's a different breed.
Is there a dory fish?
Yeah, there is a John Dory fish. Yeah,
what does that one look like?
It looks a little bit more like a puffer fish.
Ah. We're learning about the sea. Okay,
it's a very sexy and educational episode.
It really is. So, someone named Dory. Had countless photos of the Beatles and paragraph after paragraph about Paul's death / the Beatles all being totally different people. So the theory is that Paul was definitely replaced because, you know, he died, but that it's also possible that the whole band was made up of clones. It was either clones or people who were lookalikes and looked very similar, or people who were altered with surgery and purposely made to look like them. And they were all alternating being the Beatles, because who could keep up with that crazy schedule?
And they all had the exact same singing voices.
That's the most amazing part.
Yeah.
Some of the interesting things on the website, which, I mean, I haven't seen actual clips of this, but they were saying that there have been certain interviews where Paul has seemed more agitated than normal, or he dances really strange on stage at certain shows.
God forbid you be in different moods.
Of course. He can be in a different mood, but he just seems very out of character. Or there have been times where he's been seen at a show doing really uncoordinated dance moves or just strange movings about, where at other shows he's very coordinated and composed.
Drugs.
So people have said, no, literally when I was reading
drugs.
It, I was like, it was when he was in the drug phase. Like,
drugs.
The Beatles
drugs.
Did a sometimes
shit ton Sometimes he's
of
crazy
drugs.
And sometimes he's tired. Right. And sometimes he does different drugs.
Sometimes he moves.
Sometimes he dances kind of funny.
And anytime the Beatles had a bad show, if they ever had a mess up, of course, this person on the website was like, that was one of the clones who wasn't very musically talented. So it goes on and on. It's a crazy website. They also had photos of the men over the years pointing out with all these little arrows and captions saying how their face shapes had completely changed over the years. And we should look at the photos after this episode. Some of them are a little weird. Like, Paul's lips completely changed shape over the years. John Lennon's nose goes from being really thin to being really wide. His eyes look like they're further apart in one photo than they are in another. You can probably be like, no, this is stupid.
If you're already prone
if you're thinking about
to
it.
Believing this kind of stuff,
then you'll buy it.
And then you're shown what you think is proof, what you are told is proof.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
Sure.
And again, I'm reaching for things.
Who am I to judge? I don't believe Avril Lavigne is the same person. So
I know. Girl, I'm with you on the Avril Lavigne one. Don't know how I feel about the Beatles one at all, but I'm with you with Avril.
Yeah.
No, I'm just more saying, like, if I'm going to believe one of the things on this website, some of the pictures you are a little like, whoa, his lips were so thin and straight, and in this other one, they're peaking up quite high. Or in one of the pictures, John Lennon's eyes look crazy far apart, and in the other one, they're like right next to his nose. So they got me a little bit with the photos. I won't lie.
I'm not going to lie. I lost a few hours of sleep.
Yeah, it made me think. but again, you can trick your eyes into seeing whatever. And there were not high-def cameras yet. Like, there's videos of some of the shows saying, like, look, he's uncoordinated,
look,
blah, blah,
this
blah.
Video's fuzzy. Why?
Nothing was high-def. This was the time that if you were going to pull off a hoax of having multiples, this was the
now
time.
Now was the time
to do it.
We can't see a damn thing.
They must have run out of extra Johns in 1980, though, huh?
They did. I thought about that with his death. Do you think because it was so public that they were just like, well, we can't lie?
I think there were four Beatles.
Okay,
if you want to know what I believe,
hypothetically.
Okay, for the next like 30 minutes, what pretend we're buying into it.
Okay, all right, okay, deal.
That's what I meant with
deal.
That question.
Yes,
I was thinking about that. Well, why didn't they just replace John?
Right.
Do you think it was because so many people saw it happen? They were like, we can't really explain this.
Or you could say it was because the Beatles had already been broken up for a decade.
They
even
had,
though, even though John had
it was
a solo
over.
Career. John's solo career. None of their solo careers even like came close to replicating, you know, the Beatles
exactly.
as a whole.
So they were probably like, the machine's done. The multiples are out. He's dead. Goodbye. And then poor George, the cancer. It was just over.
Poor George.
Poor George.
My favorite Beatle.
Really? He was your fave?
Yep.
I like it. I always liked John Lennon.
Mine's Mick Jagger.
Okay. So.
Mine's Tub Thumping. That's my favorite Beatles song.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down.
This is the sexy episode, the educational episode, and the musical episode.
And the
there have been a lot of songs. Chumbawamba. So, the Paul is Dead theory gets weird with some album art and some of the lyrics and songs. This is where it just gets fun.
Yeah, because
these conspiracy theorists are just like, look at this.
Look at this.
And then look at this.
Look at this straw I'm grasping at.
So there are lots of conspiracies around the boys slipping in the truth of Paul's death due to their guilty conscience. Mm-hmm. So Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out in 1967, the year after, you know, Paul hit the pole and he's gone and William Campbell is in his place.
Or Billy Shears.
Or Billy Shears, which is apparently the same person, but that was his nickname. You know. Again,
yes,
because we're buying into this.
The one and only Billy Shears. It's in the title track, Sgt. Pepper's.
I know, they talk about him, but that's like part of the theory. They're like, that's when Billy came, William. So they're saying that the theorists are asserting that the image on the front of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Do you guys remember this album? It has so much going on the cover.
It's like every important pop culture figure of the preceding however many years is all in one photograph,
including
two
Beatles.
Different iterations of the Beatles.
Yes, it has like Beatles when they first came out, and then psychedelic Beatles.
And then it has, well, they're not supposed to be the Beatles. That's why the Beatles are like bearing witness to. They're bearing witness to this new band who is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah,
that was the whole point. Yeah, and they had the little drum that said they were the new band.
But if you already believe that they've been replaced by clones, then seeing that could be like, well, that's them telling us that
there's
more
multiples exactly, and that is what people point to. The Beatles will say we were mourning the loss of the old us and introducing the new us, because this was the year that they changed. It was like hippie nation was coming out, everything was changing. But the conspiracy theorists are saying no, this cover is depicting a funeral. There is freshly dug earth in the foreground. The younger Beatles are all dressed in black, and a patch of yellow flowers are prominently displayed in the front. The new psychedelic Beatles stand at the center, while wax images of the younger ones look on to the gravesite, because the Beatles were no longer the same. They were either clones or they were without Paul, whatever you want to buy into. So looking at the older hippie Beatles, you'll notice a couple of things. While the rest of the Beatles are standing at an angle, Paul is facing the camera straight on, as though he is being supported and held up by his bandmates at his sides. The rest of the Beatles are also holding brass band instruments, while Paul has a cor anglais, which is a black wooden instrument. And they said that's related to death and coffins, because, you know,
a black wooden instrument.
Yeah,
I get it.
Death, coffin.
Yeah. I'm with you.
There is a hand over Paul's head as if he is being blessed by a priest before he passes on to the afterlife. That's just an interesting little thing. Across the gravesite is a bass guitar oriented the way Paul would hold it because he was left-handed. The strings of the instruments are made of sticks, but there are only three rather than four, just as there would only be three Beatles than four without Paul.
There's no other explanation.
There's no other explanation. Also, those yellow flowers in the foreground look like they might be in the shape of a letter P for Paul. So for sure.
They are.
One of my favorite interpretations on the image is of the Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band on the drum, like where it has the label saying it.
Joe has a patch on his jacket.
Love that. It's so cool.
Ashley sewed that onto my jacket.
I did.
Will you sew it onto mine? Mm-hmm. I have so many things I need you to sew. We're going to talk. Okay. If you hold a mirror across the middle of the words, guys, we're reaching. If you hold a mirror across Lonely Hearts, you will see that it says in Roman numerals, 119, he die. And it really does look like that, but shut up. So when arranged as 111, he 119, he die, the image suggests that the date, November 9th, which is supposedly when Paul died in the car accident, is what's being pointed out here. But how that falls apart is British people do the dates opposite of how we would do them. Mm-hmm. So it would actually say September 11th, which is interesting.
Oh.
That's today. And what?
That is. Oh, you know what? We didn't bring that up.
Hi, it's September
11th. It's September 11th. We're doing a conspiracy theory episode on September 11th.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hello.
We planned it extensively.
We totally planned it.
guys, that was
this
kinda...
is coming out in like October. They
I know.
Don't care.
I was like, but I swear it's September 11th right now. But I thought that was kind of interesting both ways, that it was either the date he died or September 11th. But again, this is if you hold a mirror up to it and look real hard and squint your eyes. But there you go. Then there is a creepy doll in the corner, which this is just weird altogether, but it was an artistic choice. So there's a doll at the right-hand corner sitting on a cloth, like grandmother. And I think the doll is supposed to be Shirley Temple, is what has been said. So she's wearing a sweater that reads, "Welcome the Rolling Stones." It is asserted that the Rolling Stones helped to cover up Paul's death because
that's why my favorite is Mick Jagger.
Yeah, they were nearby in a car. And also, I'm going to get to some theories later that involve the two of them being brought to America together. So it says, "Welcome the Rolling Stones." So that's just like either a thank you from the Beatles or a nod to them because they're both involved with the Illuminati, whatever you want to think. A model of an Aston Martin.
I'm going to fucking explode.
Well, you get comments as soon as I'm done with this section. There's a model of an Aston Martin, the type of car that Paul was supposedly driving at the time, leaning against the doll's leg. The interior of the car is red. Does it mean blood? Probably. And also the cloth grandmother figure on whose lap Shirley Temple doll is resting is wearing a blood-stained driving glove. Interesting. Ooh, now, what do you have to say,
Joe? What do you have to say about that?
Some of these things are literally not true.
Nuh-uh.
Like
there's
what?
A picture of it. I can see.
Show me.
Here's the doll. I don't know if you can see the car, but the driving glove is there.
It's just red.
Blood stained.
Blood stained.
Blood red.
It's white with like red on it.
It's blood red.
Yeah. I see a doll.
This is fun.
Wearing a sweater that says, "Welcome the Rolling Stones."
Uh-huh.
And literally every other thing that was just mentioned.
The glove is literally right next to her, and we can't.
Yeah,
the cloth grandma's cut off.
The what?
She's sitting on like a cloth grandmother, and that's who's wearing the glove.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can see her head, but we can see the glove and the doll wearing the weird sweater.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
I can't believe you're questioning this, Joe.
Yeah, like, I don't. What
all I have are facts for you. Oh, I guess you can kind of see her head. She's weird looking.
It's extremely weird looking. I'm just saying that the, you know.
Yeah. I mean.
I'm not trying.
Do you think it's red paint
on
the glove?
I'm not trying to
not
refute
blood?
Anything. The entire purpose of this entire exercise is to just talk about this zany conspiracy regarding the Beatles.
I just, like, I love people on the internet so much.
I'd love them more if they had more free time.
I know. I need them to have some free
time. They need
a
break.
They need a breather to collect themselves. So when Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album came out, it was innovative in many ways, but it was one of the first to feature a sleeve that could open up and have more pictures and lyrics, which was cool.
That's very cool. I didn't know that.
And it allowed the Beatles to have a huge band photo in there. And Paul is wearing a patch on his jacket that looks like it says OPD, which has been revealed to mean officially pronounced dead
Paul
in British
died.
Police jargon.
Oh, just kidding.
Oh,
no,
Paul died is so much better. However, this has been shot down by Paul in an article saying, "I picked this badge up in Canada and had it sewed on because I liked the look of it. I believe it means Ontario Police Department or something." There is no such thing as the OPD. They call the...
Whatever you say, second Paul.
Yeah, I know, right? Paul number two. They're actually called Ontario Provincial Police, but... the patch on the jacket is kind of bent up in the photo, and it could definitely say OPP.
Nope.
Yeah, you know me.
Nope.
Yeah, you know me.
Nope.
You down with OPP?
Nope.
So people are trying to believe, of course, that it's the British police words officially pronounced dead. And Paul's like, shut up. So that was a fun little thing. Fans then started to look to the band's songs as well for some eerie coincidences.
Yeah, at that point, what else are you going to do?
You gotta.
At some point, you run out of dolls.
You run out of the dolls.
You run
so
out
you
of
have
dolls.
To go to the songs.
Yep.
So one of their most well-known is on the 1968 track Revolution No. 9, which if played backwards has one part that sounds a lot like a violent car crash and a voice that can be made out to say, "He hit a pole, better get him to a surgeon." The supposed audio clues didn't stop there. If you play I'm So Tired backwards, you get a recorded phrase that kind of, keyword here, sounds like Paul is dead, miss him, miss him, miss him. If you slow down Strawberry Fields Forever, you can hear John saying, I buried Paul. John claims he's saying cranberry sauce. Sure, John.
Sure, John.
Sure.
Sure you are.
Sure you're saying cranberry sauce.
Why are you talking about cranberry sauce? You're talking about Strawberry Fields.
You see,
right?
You see
wrong fruit.
Turn me on dead man anywhere in there?
I'm sure. I didn't include everything because there were way too many. What was it?
It's just,
so just saying that it's turned me on, Dead Man.
It's again, Revolution number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Turn me on, Dead Man. But it's seriously like, turn me on, Dead Man. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like you're playing the song backwards.
No, that's the best part. Is everything. They're like,
that's clearly turn me on, Dead Man.
If you play it backwards, it kind of sounds like this. It's like, it sounds like a lot.
If you already believe that Paul McCartney is a clone, it almost sounds like he's saying, turn me on, Dead Man, which like then listening. Through another massive leap of logic.
That's like listening to a bunch of EVPs where it's like, and they're like, they said, get out.
They clearly told us to get out.
We listened to our little EVP that we caught a million times and we all thought it said different things. So, you know, it gets a little crazy. I like to buy into that it said I buried Paul. Let's have a little fun.
Yeah.
At the end of Sergeant Pepper's reprise, you can hear a voice shouting. It's very hard to make it out, but it, again, sounds like Paul is dead. He's really, really dead.
They're really telling you.
Paul is dead. He's really, really, really dead. What is that from? Not that they say that. Something
Water
sucks. It really,
really,
really
sucks.
What is that?
Waterboy.
Thank you. Several songs have references to some sort of tragic incident in general in the Beatles' music. There is Good Morning, Good Morning that opens with the line, nothing to do to save his life, call his wife in. One story of Paul's fatal accident was that he had picked up a woman named Rita, and she became so excited that she got on top of Paul McCartney in the car and got a little gyratey and fun, and that's why he crashed.
Lovely Rita.
And then, yes, and then the song Lovely Rita came out. And it says, these lyrics are, I took her home, I nearly made it. Almost, Paul, but you hit a pole because your pole was being handled.
Yeah, that isn't about sex at all. That is about almost making it home, but you died first.
But then you had, yep. But then you had to die. In A Day in the Life, John sings ominously of a car crash. It says, he blew his mind out in a car. He hadn't noticed that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords. I was hoping Joe would start singing.
I was speaking the first part of it.
He was speaking the first part of it. Here's the thing.
Just literally waiting for the song.
Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords. I'd love to turn you on.
I love that song.
Genius.
I was just waiting for you to come in, but
and
that was beautiful.
Also, I changed my mind.
Oh.
Paul is dead.
Right? I always feel like I end up getting you. Joe laughs, but you buy into it. What did we talk about last time? Brittany Snow? And you were like,
it's clearly.
Sure. Brittany Snow was clearly being followed by the government in a helicopter. Boop. And then there's the famous cover for Abbey Road.
Love it.
In which all four bandmates are crossing the street toward their studio.
Who's in front, though?
At first.
John.
At first glance, the image. I hate you, but love you at the same time that you know so much. At first glance, the image looks harmless. Conspiracy theorists, they jumped in. They're convinced that the album is a huge confirmation of McCartney's death. In the picture, John is wearing all white, like a priest. Ringo is dressed in all black, like a funeral goer. George
specifically
is
wearing a tuxedo.
Very fancy. George is bringing up the rear in a blue jean getup. He's clearly the gravedigger of the group because he needs to be in his dirty clothes.
Right.
And then Paul is walking in his bare feet because he's deceased and he doesn't give a fuck.
In a
he
suit,
doesn't need shoes.
Smoking a
but
cigarette.
In a suit, looking like a badass motherfucker.
Very true.
But it definitely means a funeral procession. You know, like there's
I mean,
no
look
other
at
meaning
it.
Behind
look at it.
That's actually something that I have always. Can I interject? I already
yes,
did.
Yes, Joe, that's what this is for.
You usually ask before you do something.
No. Sorry.
One of the things that I like so much about the Abbey Road cover is that I and a lot of people like me believe that the Beatles actively would partake in a lot of various like palace intrigue stories about them of the time because they were the biggest cultural zeitgeist the world had ever seen.
Oh,
there had
100%.
Literally never been anything like the Beatles, not even Elvis. And they would egg on a lot of a lot of these people who would either try to like push these ridiculous theories onto the Beatles or like admonish the Beatles for the way that they did X, Y, or Z. The Beatles were really masters of their own marketing.
Oh yeah, they knew what they
were doing. So I always looked at the Abbey Road cover as being like the Beatles' response to all
everyone
of the people saying that Paul was dead, that they were like just feeding them
this
stuff, which makes me like them even more. The fact that they wouldn't just come out and ever like deny anything, they would just play coy about everything while everyone lost their minds.
They loved it. That's actually my favorite part.
Maybe
about
they
Paul
had,
McCartney,
like, a little bit of plastic surgery too, just to be
just
like,
to freak people out.
Lose it.
No, my favorite part about Paul is in interviews he's like, oh, I love it. Like, he just straight out says, he's like, everyone thinks I died and I'm a new person and it's wonderful to me. And Paul loves conspiracy theories. He has come out and said, like, I'm a conspiracy theorist, I buy into a lot of this stuff. So he thinks this is a blast no matter what's happening.
An interesting little thing about the theory of Paul dying when Paul died, being 1966, is that was the end of the Beatles' touring years.
Yeah,
they no longer toured after that because they were
on a lot,
according
of
to the Beatles, they were they had gone nonstop since 1963. They like literally hadn't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they could no longer go anywhere. Whenever they would go anywhere, they would travel in a customized hearse, and the back of the hearse would actually back up to wherever the Beatles were going, so they could just open the back
hatch of
the hearse and go directly into the building.
Yeah.
Because throngs of people would mob them everywhere they went.
They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't live normal lives.
So they became a studio band so they could get away from that, and so they could also explore with their music and play things that like a live touring band doesn't have the time or ability to do.
Sure.
But if you are a Beatles conspiracy theorist, you can say, well, funny how the Beatles, the biggest band in the world, just happened to stop touring
right after Paul's
car accident.
Yeah, and rode around in a hearse.
Anyway.
That's right, Joe. You're buying into it.
I'm coming around. You know what?
I'm believing it.
You know what? I'm coming around.
How could they tour for as long as they did? That crazy schedule had to be clones, I'm telling you guys.
3 whole years.
Another example that the theorists point to is the significance of the Black Walrus on their 1967 album Magical Mystery Tour. According to theorists, the Black Walrus symbolizes death, which is true in certain Scandinavian cultures, and McCartney was absolutely in that animal costume. And in a truly bizarre coincidence, or was it, on a later Beatles release on the White Album,
Glass
Lennon-
Onion.
Jesus.
Here's another clue for you all. The
he
walrus was
the
Paul.
He sings the Glass Onion, and it's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul. Joe didn't know. Okay, then flash forward. Those are some fun. There's so many more that I was like, I can't do this because they point to basically every song and are like, Paul's dead. Let's flash forward to 2007. Heather Mills. Anyone know who she is?
Yeah, it's Paul McCartney's wife.
That's right. Heather Mills was interviewed on Access Hollywood during her divorce from Paul and said, when I left Paul, I said, I don't want a penny. Just protect me because people think you're perfect, but you're not. You're human like everybody else. You know why I've left you. Protect me and I will say nothing. I have a box of evidence that is going to a certain person should anything happen to me. This evidence is against a certain party that behaved in a terrible way, and I don't ever want the evidence to have to go out. But if I'm going to be portrayed as this horrific person while my daughter's growing up, the evidence is there for her to make up her mind when she's older.
Wow.
And then Billy, who was interviewing her at, what's his last name? The guy that like got canned because of Trump. Billy. Anyone remember?
What?
You know when the grab her by the pussy was happening? The guy on the bus?
Billy Bush.
Yeah. Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I was trying. I believe this is him because it says
I
Billy.
I can't believe that was only 2 years ago. Go on.
Right? Knowing what you know, Billy says, knowing what you know about Paul, would you have married him in the first place? And Heather very firmly, immediately says, never.
Said, who's Paul?
Who's Paul? So that's interesting. She could be talking about many things, but like it's weird. It's weird that she said all that. And there's a clip of it on Access Hollywood. You can find it online and you're like, what? Then in an interview with Larry King, she says, I married a legend and there's a machine behind him. I can't really go into it, but you know you have to read between the lines. You know there's a whole machine going on to create this negativity in Britain toward me. And I also love how much she says, you know, because so does Paul, but it's in the accent, like, mm-hmm. you know, you know. I can't do it.
I don't think she's from Liverpool, though. But anyway.
But she does the you knows. She does. I like it.
It's also, like I like fun... how she keeps saying machine.
I know.
As if.
Machine.
Machine?
She's saying machine.
Machine.
No, yeah, I love that she says machine. What machine?
What machine? Is it a Stepford Wives situation?
Mm-hmm. She says, you know, there's a whole machine going on to create this negativity in Britain toward me. King says, caused by Paul? She says, well, I can't go into it. It's like, you know, I just don't want to speak badly about Paul, you know. I still love him and he's the father of my child. And, you know, there's things go on. Things are not what you see. Was she talking about the PR machine behind the Beatles or was she talking about the clone machine behind the Beatles?
She's clearly talking about the literal machine that clones Paul McCartney's. Yep.
That spits out little Pauls. Mm-hmm. That's what's going
little on. Little Sir Pauls.
Guys, little Sir Pauls. This gets even weirder if you can believe it. I actually just discovered I had all this Beatles research queued up from last time because I was going to do it and then nixed it for the other stuff. But then I discovered something new in the last week that was tied to this. Have you guys heard of the Tavistock Institute?
No.
No.
Who has? I didn't know this place existed. It's located just across from Abbey Road Studios, which I'll say first. Could be a coincidence. I don't know. But the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations is a British not-for-profit organization which applies social science to contemporary issues and problems. It started in 1946 as a clinic and was formally established as a separate entity in 1947. It is believed by a doctor and huge conspiracy theorist named Dr. John Coleman, who has deeply studied this institute for years and written books about it, that the Tavistock Institute possibly has ties with the Illuminati, and they are constantly working to break social norms by infiltrating the media and spreading their ideas to study how society reacts and takes in the information. These are like social scientists and anthropologists and people who do want to know more about society, but how far does it go? It is said that they use the Beatles and the Rolling Stones as their vessels to come into America and mess with America's youth. They wanted to break down education in America completely.
Well, it worked.
Right. So the Beatles came to America in 1964, around the same time the Tavistock Institute was busy creating their own special language for young people in America. The words rock music, pop music, and even the word teenager were not being widely used until the 60s. When Tavistock started pumping these words into the media because they had so many connections, possibly the Illuminati was involved as well. And they were trying to make these words popular.
Is this a conspiracy or is this real?
I mean, the word teenager cannot be found before the 60s. That's true. But did Tavistock come up with it? I don't know.
Okay.
That's the conspiracy. But people weren't really saying teenager much before that. But it was being pumped out right around this time in the 60s. And so was pop music and rock music. Do you have something to add?
I was going to say that was the advent of pop and rock music. That's probably why.
Yeah, this is when it was coming in. Yeah, so those words wouldn't have been around. But the conspiracy is that Tavistock was preparing the media in America to pump this out so that when the Beatles and the Rolling Stones arrived, all the teenagers would be like, oh, rock, I love rock music.
There was already a PR machine.
I'm a teenager, yeah.
Laying the groundwork for them.
I see.
Precisely. They had a ton of money and a lot of connections, so they were getting to the late night hosts and very popular shows using their words. Young people were being told what they should like and how they should think. At the same time, Beatles music was being pumped into their ears. Did the young girls actually like the Beatles, or were they just being overwhelmed with it to the point where they were like, oh, the
I
Beatles
no choice,
are the best
like
rock
them.
Band ever. Yeah. Yeah, I have to love them.
It's the most offensive thing I've ever heard.
I know. But
like Joe just left the room.
Yeah,
Joe's gone.
Joe quit.
No, of course, everyone loved the Beatles. Their music is fantastic. But
or is it?
I know. What? Do I even like
them?
Oh,
my God. Who am I?
What's my name? God.
Have I ever used the word teenager before? I can't remember.
Teenager. I think I've
said it. Oh, it sounds weird to say now.
I don't like it.
Gestapo.
Gestapo? Gestapo?
Gelato?
So when the Beatles first landed in America, the second their plane landed, there were herds of people waiting for them. People in America already loved them and were welcoming them with open arms before they'd even seen them perform yet. They'd been hearing their music forever, though, and said, these are the rock gods. And they thought the same of the Rolling Stones. They were like, these are the people I'm supposed to love. Then the huge revolt started happening in America shortly after this, where everyone wanted to fight the man and fight social norms, and the hippie era kind of broke out. And they're saying that this was all tied to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones coming into America and bringing these ideals that were being pumped into them by the Tavistock Institute and the Illuminati. Dr. John Coleman, this guy I mentioned earlier who writes article after article on this and is crazy, states that a man named
crazy.
He's a little nuts, but I mean, he has a lot of stuff. He's interesting. He states that a man named Theo Adorno was writing all of the Beatles' music and letting Paul and John take the credit for it. He was a German. This is a real man. It's still part of the conspiracy, but he is real. He's a German classical musician, and he held the same ideals as Tavistock and actually worked in an institute that was very similar in Germany before he then came over to England. Tavistock and Theo Adorno both wanted the youth of America to start fighting against their elders and break away from the status quo. They wanted to bring in a new era, tell all these stupid old people that their ideals were wrong and everyone should become hippies and fight authority. It was said that Paul, the original Paul, apparently could barely read music at first and Ringo could barely hit a drum, and they were completely created by the Tavistock Institute, making them who they were before they could be released into America.
Who wrote this?
Dr. John Coleman, if you'd like to.
Do you have Dr. John Coleman's address?
I'll find it for
I
you.
Do you have some words? Yeah, I have a throat that I need to hit with a brick.
Ooh, I like that threat.
Joe, I saw him die inside.
I know.
The mic, he dropped it.
It's not good what I'm off saying. Into the
distance. Yeah, Lauren, I want you to know that I hold you accountable for none of this.
Thank you. You can't be mad at me.
Nope. I'm glad
Isn't
we're talking
nuts
about
that
these
this
things.
Is out there, though? This band was created from mediocre talent, but put together for a purpose. It was a social experiment on the youth in America to separate them from their aging parents. The youth were picking up the code words in the song lyrics and believing every word they heard. They started to accept that drugs and rock music were cool, and they picked up a complete new lifestyle that challenged the older generation. Another couple possible Illuminati sightings within the Beatles is their Yellow Submarine promo picture, where it shows the four of them.
So awesome.
It's a really cool picture. It looks like, this is hilarious. It looks like Paul and John might be holding up Illuminati signs.
Cool.
Paul is doing the 666 / Eye of the Horus symbol, while John is showing devil horns. Or these signs could also be A-OK and Rock On, as we know them.
I doubt it.
But they're for sure Illuminati signs.
Or they could be a peace sign.
Or it's two fingers sticking up saying peace.
Could nope, it be?
Probably the sign of Horus.
Definitely Horus. So let's just shut that one down right there. The front cover of With the Beatles album shows their faces half in shadow. This is a symbol of one eye of Horus. That is an epidemic in the music industry as a whole. The black-white duality is the Masonic doctrine to balance good and evil. Mm-hmm. So clearly, yes. Illuminati. A Beatles compilation album was released in 1988 titled... Just wanted to see if you...
There's so many compilation albums.
Which one came out in 1988?
I don't know. I know. I could tell you. I could tell you.
Beatlemania.
It's a compilation album. It doesn't count. It's not part of their discography.
No, it's totally fair. I was going to be
You give me a Beatles
so
studio
excited.
Album, I'll tell you what year
Ooh,
it came out
Ooh, I bet.
In.
I would have just been so excited if you knew. It was more like Joe.
No, I don't, which one is it?
It was titled Past Masters.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Past Masters 1 and 2.
There you go.
Yeah, there's two volumes.
Past master is also a Masonic term used to describe the former worshipful master of a Masonic
They're
lodge.
Master recordings. That's what you call them.
Shh. It's the leader. Oh it's no, the it's worship leader, Joe.
Worship leader, Joe. Oh my God.
It's definitely a Masonic worship leader.
I'm shaking.
And the album contains exactly 33 songs. Anyone remember the magic number?
Is the level... The top level of the Masons.
That's
Is it
right.
really? Oh, good
ding,
call.
Ding, ding.
Wow, awesome.
We talked about that at the Denver airport because there was also a million things with the number. Oh, can't get back into the Denver airport.
I blacked out during that recording.
And can't get back into that.
Our episode, Legend of Dakota's Templar, is episode 33 on accident.
We
Whoa,
do so many
nuts.
Things on accident that are great.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally on purpose. Like, recording this conspiracy theory episode on September 11th was totally on purpose.
Also, part one of conspiracy I touched on September 11th.
Yep.
Our last conspiracy episode, which was not even close to September 11th. And
nope,
we were not planning to do this.
Nope.
Interesting.
Guys. We are like a conspiracy
we
theory
We are
within
a conspiracy
ourselves.
Theory.
Yeah.
Are you guys real?
Pretty much.
Would you tell me if you weren't?
I don't know. Define real.
were the Beatles.
Yeah, so I thought the 33 songs thing again was just like fun. Mm-hmm. It was like that level of the Masons.
That's neat.
And then my last little thing, Theo Adorno, who apparently wrote all the songs, died in 1969, right before the Beatles disbanded.
You've gotta be kidding
wait
me.
A minute.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait a minute.
That's insane.
And those are some Beatles conspiracy theories that are all very real, and you can't
complain or debate. Joe, you're going to have some real egg on your face this all ends up being true.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have a lot of egg on my face when it turns out we're just a simulation, so.
We're in the Matrix.
Get in line.
Get in line, Sally.
Get in line. Gather those eggs.
Yep. Start pelting.
Yeah.
Well, Beatles. That was fun.
Do you have any last thoughts you want to add out of your anger and rage?
Oh, no. I mean,
wasn't it just fun?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, I, on the last episode and shortly after I finish this sentence, we'll start talking about some like pretty out there stuff myself. So I understand.
Yours has more truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like there's actual like documentation of my stuff, but
right.
But
hey, there's album covers.
But also, you know, yeah, like as they say about, you know, like stuff with the Bible where they're like, oh, you can't pick and choose.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, so if you believe in some pretty wacky shit, then you probably don't have a right to get all up in arms when you hear somebody else talk about some different wacky shit.
Right. Right.
I just like the thing that's so hard for me to reconcile is that it's just like, well, it's all the same guys.
Right.
Like all the music, like their voices are all the same. Like
yeah.
You can't just.
They never change. You can't replicate that.
You can't just
that.
Replicate that. It's like, oh, he won a look-alike contest. It's well, like, maybe. Did he win a sound-alike contest?
What about a clone machine?
Clone machine?
Because the clones would sound the same. So let's go the clone
route. All those clones we have walking around?
Hey. You don't know.
You don't know.
We cloned a sheep 20 years ago and
yeah,
haven't heard about it
Dolly?
Since.
Dolly,
yeah.
I remember that.
Cloned Dolly. A sheep 20 years ago. And it was like, we cloned a sheep. But 20 years before that. We cloned probably the most famous person on the planet, and no one
multiple
noticed.
Times actually.
Multiple times.
There were a couple of
like I said, ran out of John clones.
Maybe they used the same four Beatles members for all studio recording and just sent the multiples out on tour because that's the most work. And they're like, we need the multiples to do the dancing and the performing.
Yeah.
Well, now I believe.
I'm just saying.
There it is.
Like I have
that's
the truth
all it took.
For you.
I just,
it's right
anytime,
here.
Anytime you want it, I'll feed you, baby bird. You want that truth about the Beatles.
I just would have regretted it if I never talked about the Beatles. Like, I've been wanting to. It brings light to our day.
I think, I think that's a really great idea to actually bring levity into this because right before, or earlier today, Ashley reminded me. It was like, no, remember, like, you know, have fun. And it was just kind of like, I'm not really talking about fun stuff. I'm kind of worried about that. I'm going to have to really, really... crank up the jokes in the first two-thirds of this episode to make up for
it. It's dark!
But I didn't have to because you brought something that was zany and fun and also happens to be about, like, literally my favorite thing ever that isn't my girlfriend.
Aw, that was really nice. Now that I'm done talking about all the wild things, I do have to say, absolutely love the Beatles, and to say they were mediocre talent made by the Illuminati is so sad.
That's
they are very
that is that that's that was the definition of heresy. That was the only part of the episode where like I actually got mad. It was like it was actually quite a middling talent. And it was just like
are you kidding?
I will fucking rip your organs out.
I know it's crazy. I would say also
How dare you?
And I would say to our listeners, if you do want to know more, if you think I was just spouting off crazy talk, you can Google Dr. John Coleman and the Beatles. You can Google The Beatles Never Existed. Go to TheBeatlesNeverExisted.com and see the now shut down
American
website.
The American Association of Mental Health.
Yeah.
Look up Tavistock and look up mental
institutions. You can look up studio apartments in the neighborhood so you can finally move out of your mom's house.
Hey!
You can look up a bunch of really cool stuff.
I love it.
That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Make sure you join us next episode for Joe's contribution as we take a look at some of the shittier crimes committed by the United States government. And look forward to the rest of October when we'll bring you a reunion horror movie episode with some of our past guests, as well as a very scary listener ghost stories Halloween episode. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Keep It Weirdcast and our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find out ways you can donate to the show and get bonus episodes and newsletters each month. Check out our Etsy page at www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast to buy some sweet, sweet merch. Whether the Beatles are alive or dead, whether they were real or clones, whether they ever even existed at all, we just have to come together, let it be, and keep it weird.
With just the whole, like, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds on the most psychedelic album mm-hmm. they made, and everybody's like, oh, it's about drugs, and John Lennon it's just, like, so coy, just being like, no, it's about a painting my son made.
What I'm really hoping for this episode is all the Liverpool accents.
All the Liverpool accents.
Liverpool.
With imagination, there's no limit to what we can imagine. Oh, yeah.